John 1:1. What we're starting this week is a series on Jesus. Lord put this on my heart to really talk about not just, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, but who really was Jesus? And what do some of the names of Jesus actually mean in reflection of his character and who he is? Last week I shared with you about, you know, Lord made me think, what's your new name? As I've been changed. My new name that represents my character. Well, Jesus' names in the Bible each represent a character element of who he is. And today we're going to begin by talking about Jesus, the Word was. The Word was. Let's read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I'm going to be splitting this up into three sections. Today we're only going to deal with one section. Today's the Word was. Next time we'll deal with the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But I want to look at the Word was. Well, before we do that, the Greek term for the in the beginning was the Word. Most of us may know this is the word logos, which means word. But does it? All my life, grew up hearing, yeah, here the Greek word in this chapter for the Word of God is logos, which means word. But if you get into it and you explore a little bit deeper, you realize it means a little bit more than just that. The word logos here in the Greek means, is a word used for the indwelling of logic. Remember, the Greek culture was a very philosophical culture. It was the indwelling of logic or rational order of things, how things should be. Everything is laid out. It's logical, it's orderly, it's, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, that kind of thing. Everything lines up. But it also refers and translated into the figure of wisdom from the Hebrew scriptures. So that same word, that same connotation, in Hebrew, the definition is similar but slightly different. Whereas in Greek, the word logos refers to logic and rationale, as in a philosophical sense. In Hebrew, the word is the embodiment of the logic and rationale, which is wisdom. It refers to wisdom in Hebrew. It's the figure of wisdom. It's that logic, that understanding, that rationale given life. What do I mean by that? Look at Proverbs 3:13-18. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than gold. She, again, referring to wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire compared to her, cannot compare it with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So in Hebrew, in a poetic sense, wisdom is given the image of a woman, of a perfect woman that has this embodiment, that represents this. And in the poetic sense of the Hebrew scriptures, it usually is in reference to the beauty of a woman, the beauty of wisdom here. Now, what is wisdom? Well, wisdom is different from knowledge because wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is being able to take what you know, apply it the right way, in the right setting, in the right form, in the right time. That's wisdom. That's why, you know, when they say this person is wise in his old age, because they've experienced it all and they've sort of figured out when to say what, how to say it, and all that. Whereas in youth, we tend to be irrational, a little quick emotional, and rush into things, where with wisdom, there's experience. Who has more experience than God Himself? So who can give us true wisdom but God Himself, who also created it all? So here, logos, and in taking it to its next level, is the embodiment of all that is knowledge, all that is understanding, all that is logical. Now, let's look at this. The Word was. The Word was in the beginning. And he repeats it again later on. He was in the beginning with God. But the Word was. What does that say? Just from what I shared thus far. Logic, rationale, understanding, the embodiment of it all, of all that is perfect, was, always existed, was always there. Which kind of makes me think, if it was always there, that means it was always available to be received, to be taken. So you think about how that relates to Christ. How His grace is always there for us, ready to be received, ready to be embraced. How His Holy Spirit is always there, the Spirit He gave us, ready to be embraced, ready to be received. All things were made through Him. He was wisdom, logos, the Word, the source of created things, the foundation that things were created in, and through. Everything that was created began, had its foundation in this. In the beginning was the Word. Always there in the beginning. Now I want to jump to in Genesis. Begins kind of the same way as John begins. In the beginning. Here, in the beginning, God created. The word created is the word bara, B-A-R-E-R-A. And it means to form or fashion, to carve out or cut out. And one of the references to this word in a different place of scripture is Joshua 17:18, where Joshua is told to cut down trees in order to clear out or carve out land. So he did this by creating or fashioning the room, the space, the place. God, but this is the key to this word bara. When he says, in the beginning God created, the word created, bara. The key point to this word is that God is always the subject matter of this verb. When it is used as a verb, it is always God as its subject. God working in it. God in its standard form. Creating is therefore a divine capacity to carve out, to cut out, cut through, to fashion or form with this word represents the hand of a divine being, Yahweh, God doing this. So, in the beginning was the Word, with what we just shared about its understanding and what it means. And we know the Word represents Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Now you take that, add it to the word bara and what it means. It means that God's divine hand was on all that was created, all that is being created, all that continues to be formed and fashioned, and the Word, Jesus, was always there, always a part of it. Had the wisdom, the logic, the understanding of God was there, was present. In many ways, as we talk about in this church, having the heart of God and the mind of Christ. Think about that. The heart of God and the mind of Christ. To be like Christ, to walk like Christ, to talk like Christ, to act like Christ, to react as Christ would react, to think like Him, to see like Him, and what He perceives leads to an attitude and a way of doing things. He's the embodiment of wisdom. That wisdom that was in creation. See, in Genesis 1 to chapter 2, verse 3, that whole creation story, because we're talking about words, the Word. Jesus, the Word. During those passages, the Word God said, or God called, or God blessed, meaning verbally, is used 13 times. 13 times in the creation story. It wasn't God thought this, or God pondered this, or God contemplated that. It was God said, God called, spoke, or God blessed it verbally. 13 times. Why is that important? Well, something the Holy Spirit has shown me about words, and He actually showed me this at my other job, is your words are very powerful, and we know that, but in a slightly different way. See, if I have something going on inside of me and bothering me, as long as I keep it on the inside, I can ignore it. I can pretend it doesn't exist. I can deny its importance and weight. I can try to cover it up. I can pretend I don't have to deal with it. I can try to fill my mind with other things to take my mind off of it, to avoid it, as long as it's in here. But when I speak it, I put it on the table. When I speak it, use my words, now it's out there. Therefore, if it's out there, guess what? Something that I could have pretended wasn't real now becomes a reality. Now I have to deal with it. Now I have to deal with it. Now I have to follow through with it. I have to deal with what my mouth spoke into creation in a way. From what was inside of me. I have to now take it and work it through to the very end. It's there. Now it's revealed what was inside of me. And now action has to be applied to it. So now take what was inside of God, the fact that He spoke it and He brought into reality what was on His heart. In the beginning was the Word was. In the beginning, He created His divine hand. He spoke it and He purposed it. He made into reality what His heart desired, what His heart knew, what He wanted. Yesterday we were listening to a teaching tape, and the one line that stuck out to me, and this was about healing. is the speaker said, his name was Randy Clark. He said, when you declare, in declaring healing, you're creating faith. I'm not quoting him exactly. But when you declare your healing, it's bringing faith. Because now you've put it out there. So now you got to stand on it. And you got to testify. And you got to press into it. And you got to declare it. And you got to believe in it. Because now you've taken what you've might have even had doubts with it initially inside of your heart. But you took, in a way, a step of faith to build your faith, to put it out there. And now you got to stand on it. Now you got to stand on it. Think about Scripture when confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. You take what's been tormenting you on the inside and you put it out there. Not only does God release you from that in Christ Jesus by the blood of the Lamb, not only does He forgive you for that, but there's just a whole sense of healing that comes forth. Because now you've put it out there for God to deal with it. Because you've confessed your sin. God is taking care of that. So now look at this creation story. Bara, God created. His divine hand was in it. His divine hand was in it through His words. Logos. The wisdom incarnate. Each time God speaks, He brings His heart into reality. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks into one of us, an action is required of some kind. Whether it's just me on my own having to do something, or I need to do something with someone, or in some way out in the open. But some form of, okay, this is what God spoke. Now it's my reality. It is a reality. Now I have to do it. God created. He births it. So now it's there for me to work on it. To work on what God created. I want to show you a couple of things in the book of Isaiah. See, God spoke, and what God sometimes speaks, we know that some prophetic word are meant for the here and now, and others are for the future. I want to show you some things here. And look at how many times in Isaiah 51, 1 through 8, he says, listen to me. In other words, tune your ears to my words that I'm bringing into reality. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone. I blessed him and increased. He called him audibly, and he told him about the blessings he was going to bless him with. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as the light of the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth. My arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me. And my arm they will trust. Lift your eyes to the heavens. Look on the earth beneath. Look for the heavens. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like garment. And those who dwell in it will die in like hammer. But my salvation will be forever. My righteousness will not be abolished. Listen to me, you who know my righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will forever be, and my salvation from generation to generation. See, God spoke this into life. He spoke this prophecy into life. It's His heart brought into reality. And there is a prophetic calling here of who is to come, of what will be the hope. He's speaking these things. This is God's word coming true, because what do we have? We have Jesus, the Word of God, the embodiment of the heart of God and the mind of God, His wisdom, coming to life to do what? To create salvation for us, a way to salvation. To create the mercy that we need and bring that into life. See, God created other things. He created Eden, and that didn't work to keep us right. He brought into a creation, He brought forth into His creation prophets and kings. He spoke and allowed them to be. He brought forth judges, spoke them. And it didn't work. So He took His word, His own wisdom, and embodied it in the form of Jesus the Son. And He came as the Word of God, the true Word of God, the true knowledge, true understanding, true wisdom. And guess what? He gave it to us in His Holy Spirit. He gave us the capacity to do that. That's why we can have words of knowledge. That comes from above. Words of wisdom. That comes from above. Tongues and understanding of tongues, interpretations of tongues. That comes from above. The wisdom of His healing, that comes from above. The wisdom of supernatural faith, that comes from above. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit, He embodied and He bestowed on us. He imparted them to His disciples. And His disciples have imparted them to future disciples. And here we are today, that we can walk in those things, in those truths. In Isaiah 7:14 says this, therefore, you know, this is 44 chapters earlier. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and His name shall be called Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. God with us. God, the incarnation of God with us. In Jesus, who is what? The Word of God. What does the Word of God mean? Or the Word mean? Logos mean? Wisdom, understanding. And He was the embodiment of it all. So if first point here trying to make is the Word creates. The Word creates. Second point is this. The Word empowers the created. He empowers the created. We were what? Created to worship. How do we do that? We declare. We were created to declare His glory. We were created to testify of who He is. We were created to spread the gospel. We were called and created to heal the sick. If you notice, and I've come to the full realization, but I'm still learning so much, so I wouldn't, may not be even close to it. The knowledge and understanding of how all the things that God wants, He's calling us in faithfulness and obedience in His Holy Spirit to accomplish them. There are things that, yes, God does on His own by His awesome nature, but a lot of times He's saying, you do it. I'm empowering you to do it. I've called you to do it. Yes, if I want to, at this moment, I'll heal so-and-so. But right now, I want you to go and you lay your hands and you heal that person in my name. If I want to, I can implant a thought in someone's mind right now and lead them. But I want you to go speak my words to them right now and edify them and encourage them. This is not just for their benefit, but it's for your benefit as well. So these are the things that have been imparted on us. We were created to do these things. We are the ones who are called to go take back what the enemy has stolen. We are the ones who pray in faith in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to reclaim our homes and our children back to the Lord. It's us that He's empowered us in Him to do these things. His wisdom, His understanding is available because He was and He is. And He spoke into life everything that was and that will be spoken into life. His words. We were created to do the same thing. The same thing. To speak life. God spoke life. The word, wisdom, embodiment of bara, divine creation, brought life, spoke life into being. When we speak the word of God, when we call on the name of Jesus, we are speaking life into things. When we pray over our workplace, we are speaking life instead of death onto our workplace. When we pray over our child's bed, we are speaking life on our child. When we are praying with one another, we're breathing, speaking life that God has spoken into us, that He's given to us. The Word was, the Word has weight, He has power. Just real quick, a few verses in Isaiah. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for what? My glory, whom I formed and made. He's called us to do this. He created for His glory. What is His glory? To speak into being words of life. Created things, words of life. Bring new into being. Isaiah 43, 21. The people I form for myself, that what? They may proclaim my praise. We proclaim praise. Guess what? Where the presence of God wasn't, His presence will be. Because He inhabits the praises of His children. We speak life into where we are. Imagine you're having the most awesome, awful day at work or at home, and you just stop and just start screaming out praises to God. You're taking back your ground. You're bringing life into what is dying. Isaiah 43, 25. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my sake, for my own sake, and remembers your sins no more. It's His desire to speak life into us, and all we have to do is speak the words to receive those lives, that life that He's spoken into us. Because He did it. Isaiah 48, 10 through 11. See, I have refined you, though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. For my own sake I do this. For my own sake. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. What is that saying? That's saying if I'm seeing you dying spiritually, I'm going to do whatever I can to refine you. As long as you allow me to. You're willing to. I want to refine you in my fires. I want to speak life into you. I want to do this for you. Now, if we don't do these things, if we don't worship Him, guess what? What the Word was, what He had already spoken life to, is going to worship Him, is going to praise Him. His creation will praise Him and do those things if we don't. If we're not speaking life, His creation is going to evidence that life. Luke 19:40 says this, but He answered and said to him, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones will immediately cry out. If you're not going to declare the glory of God, who was, the Word was, if you're not going to speak His glory, guess what? What He's already spoken and created is going to speak His glory. The Word was. He created this rock. Psalm 69:34. Let heaven and earth praise Him, the seas and everything that moves in the seas. Everything that God created in Genesis, the wisdom of the Logos, of what Logos means, bara, the divine hand of carving out perfectly, sculpting out, fashioning out perfectly, the perfect designer. If we don't do it, what he designed then is going to do it. What he spoke into life then is going to do it. But guess what? He created us to do it. So now, how do our words, as imitators of Christ, the Word, fulfill this? How do we create life? Well, let's look at Romans 10:9. And we shared this a little bit earlier. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. Born again. New life. Let your words create life right now by receiving what Jesus done. And I don't know if there's anyone here right now today who hasn't accepted Christ as their Savior. But in a moment, as we close, I want to give you that opportunity to do so. Confess Him with your mouth. This brings forth spiritual life in us. The life, the mercy, the grace that was already available to us. You know, it's almost like you've been working outside all day, you're sweating, you're exhausted, and there's a glass of water on the table, but you're not going to get up to go get it. It's there for you. It's always been there for you. His grace and His mercy has always been there in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is receive it. Receive it. His heart for His creation to fellowship with Him has always been there. All we have to do is embrace it. It was spoken into being Genesis 1:1. The Word was. We were made for eternity. Question is, where are we going to spend eternity? With the heart desire of God, which is in heaven with Him, or any other place? God sent His only Son, Jesus, the Word, that no man should perish but have everlasting life. He did not come for nothing. He came so that every single one of us can live in eternity with Him. That's His Word. And the Word Jesus brings it forth in us. Declaring the Word of God, declaring Jesus over, also brings us into reality what is already real in heaven. If you're here this morning, and you know, why are we just finding different ways to sing the name Jesus out? We're not trying to figure out a way to add melody to the name of Jesus. We're declaring the name of Jesus over things. It just so happened to be the melody we might be playing. We don't need any melody to declare the name of Jesus. You can walk up to anything, walk in your house. I declare the name of Jesus, 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 over my house. No other present is welcome here but Jesus. That's why. His name is power. His name is life. And when we talk about life, we're talking about spiritual life, eternal life. Because without Him, there's only spiritual death. Without Him, we cannot walk in the victory of this world. In Him, there's not just spiritual life, but there's life on earth to walk victoriously. In His authority, His Word is spoken. His Word carries weight. His Word carries weight. When I can go up and I say, I command you in the name of Mike, to leave me alone, devil. He's going to be like, who are you? But when I say, walk up and I say, I command you in the name of Jesus who lives in me, in the power of His Holy Spirit that He has given me, and the authority that He has given me to leave, he has to leave. Because you declared the name of Jesus over him. He has to leave. His name is a name that breaks down strongholds and sets the captives free and brings healing, and we can go on and on about what declaring the name of Jesus can do. The name of Jesus, the Word of God, The Word of God, who was in the beginning, who created life, is still creating life. This has and always will be available to us. We just have to start believing it, using Him, using His Word, using Jesus, allowing Him to work through us. Reach out to what's already there. He is life. He created life. He's still creating life. And He wants to create life today. I want you to bow your heads with me right now. Thank you, Jesus.